Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a pleasure to be here with you today, and it's a really special day to be here as well. So again, my name is Jamie Bronco. I work for the James River Association, and at the association I serve as the Lower James River Keeper. A bit more about what that means later on, but for those who are not familiar, James River Association is a private nonprofit. We have an office here in Williamsburg, as well as in Richmond and in Lynchburg, Virginia. And our goal is to really serve as a guardian for the river, to act as a voice for the river, and to also promote conservation and responsible stewardship. And we work across the entire 10,000 square mile watershed. So we've got a lot of area to cover, and it's certainly an appropriate topic, I think, for this morning as we reflect on Earth Day. So for those who don't know, this is the 45th anniversary of Earth Day. Remarkable that it's been that long. And I think personally, and for all of us as we really think about what that means, it's a prime opportunity to look back and reflect on how far we have come in the United States in terms of environmental health. And I think that's critical for really understanding where we're going as a country. So let's think back. 45 years ago, some in the room might remember this graphically, some maybe not so much, but 45 years ago, raw sewage, algae blooms, fish kills. The Cuyahoga River was known for catching on fire periodically because of all the oil and petrochemicals that were being dumped into it. This was not unique to the Cuyahoga River. This happened in many other places, including periodically on the James. Lake Erie, because of all the toxic pollution and the sewage, there were algae blooms that made it impossible to drink the water, impossible to go fishing. You would get a rash, you would get sick. It was essentially declared dead to those in that time period. And in fact, on the James and in many places, many rivers that I've visited and experienced throughout the East and the Northeast, rivers were considered a sewer, a place where waste was dumped, especially for cities like Richmond and Lynchburg and at times even Williamsburg. Development happened with the river to the back of the city. That's where the pipes ended up. That's where our waste ended up. On the James River, we had a very important event happening in 1975, which sort of turned the focus not only on the James, but throughout Virginia in terms of how we really perceive water issues. Ketone is a type of pesticide that was manufactured in Hopewell, Virginia. At the time, it was not well understood, but once people started getting sick from working in this factory, there was more investigation that followed. It was discovered that a large amount of this pesticide had been discharged directly into the James. Enough of it so that it was contaminating fish, it was polluting the river on a large scale. The governor at the time, Governor Mills Goodwin, ended up shutting down the James to any sort of fishing for 13 years. It was unsafe and unallowed. You're not allowed to have any fish, no commercial fishing, no recreational fishing for 13 years on the James, which is remarkable. I don't know if there was another river in the entire country that has as much of a black eye as that in terms of the James. And that's all the negative things. Get those out of the way. The James is tremendously improved. As Ann referenced already, we had a lot happening after 1970. The first Earth Day, the Environmental Protection Agency founded in 1970. We had the Clean Water Act, the Clean Air Act. We addressed the hole in the ozone, and the Clean Water Act specifically has opened up a whole wealth of opportunities for citizens to get involved and organizations like us, but also allowing regulations to come in and control some of the pollution that was out of control back in that era. So 45 years later, we have a much, much cleaner James River, and we like to call it America's Founding River. Congress actually bestowed that name on the James, really adding to the importance of the James. But rivers across the Chesapeake Bay are vastly cleaner than they were 45 years ago. Today, I wanted to focus a little bit more on where we're going. So we know where we've come from. Where are we going today? We're at about a sea average, we like to say, at the James River Association. We do a biennial State of the James report, which documents all of the different criteria that we use to measure a healthy river, a safe river, and we have bald eagles. We have sturgeon. We have striped bass. We have all of these species, and if you're a fisherman, maybe your eyes are lighting up right now, but All of these species that people like to go fishing for, they like to see when they go kayaking or canoeing, and we really associate with a healthy ecosystem. Bald eagles were an endangered species. We thought they were on their way out. DDT was the main culprit for affecting their populations. One simple policy decision, banning DDT in our country, has led to the resilience of bald eagles, peregrine falcons, a lot of these top-level birds of prey. There's actually a pair of peregrine falcons that lives on top of the Newport News James River Bridge now, believe it or not, so they really are coming back strong. Sturgeon, these massive ancient fish, they can get to be 14 feet long, 800 pounds, just massive, massive fish. The fish that saved Jamestown, as they say, they find their scutes and their bones and all of the Jamestown rediscovery trash pits. But they were overfished at the turn of the 20th century. But again, because of a moratorium and some responsible management of that fishery, the James is very unique in that it's one of the only bay, Chesapeake Bay tributaries where we have a healthy population starting to come back. And so as a quick aside, I get the joy of getting to work directly with these fish in the summertime and in the spring, actually in the spring and the fall specifically, when they migrate into the James River to spawn. We work with VCU to catch them and to tag them and study them. So we have some great evidence to show that they are making a small comeback in the James, and we hope that continues in the same way that the bald eagle populations have rebounded. Many of us likely have some very personal experiences with nature. Some good, some bad, but I find that even my bad experiences with nature, after reflection and time to really think about it, get to be some of the most remarkable experiences that I've had in my life. Certainly some of the most spiritual times that I can remember in my life have been also on the Appalachian Trail, maybe paddling down the river. I reflect on camping trips with my family, canoeing trips. At the James River Association, we have a project called the James River Expedition, where a group of very lucky high school students go through an application process, and then they get chosen to go on this incredible trip where they paddle from the very beginning of the James River, and over a 3 weeks period, they will progress down the river through all the different sections into the tidal James and finally to Fort Monroe at the very mouth of the James. Along the way, they talk to government leaders, to businesses, to farmers. They learn about all the different perspectives, all the different uses that we have for the James and why it is such a critical piece in our lives. So imagine if we all had that experience. But you know, at the very least, I know that most of us in the room, hopefully all of us, have had some small experience that has inspired us in terms of nature and wanting to be better stewards for nature. The James River is so appropriate to think about today because it really does tie all of our communities together. It's right here in our backyard in Williamsburg. I'd venture to guess everyone in the room, your yard probably drains ultimately to the James, even if you don't see the James or see a creek. We all live within the watershed. The challenges of today are, in terms of the environmental health and water quality, are not so much industry, not so much these large industrial pollution sites. We have laws like the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act now that do a pretty good job of regulating those industries most of the time. The challenges of today are each of our individual pieces of the pie. As they say sometimes when we talk about Chesapeake Bay health, it's the death by a thousand cuts. It's not one actor who is causing the problem, it is all of us. We all play a role, we all have a stake in the future of the Chesapeake Bay and the James River, and most importantly, the creek that runs right through your backyard, I think, because that ultimately does go into the James and into the bay and into the ocean. It's not so much that toxic pollution that we need to think about today, but more so the rain, and appropriate that we had the song earlier to talk about the rain. So what happens when it rains and it falls on a parking lot or on your yard or on your driveway or on some other site? That polluted runoff is what is driving a lot of the continued challenges and stresses that we have in the river today. But remarkably, it's also one of the most easy, simple things that we can all address individually. So gardeners in the room, you may already be thinking of some things you can do to collect that runoff, to reuse it maybe for gardening, for watering some of your plants, maybe some solar panels if you're very venturous about getting into these green practices on your own property. pervious pavement, or pavement that allows water to drain into the soil naturally so that it is slowed down and cleaned up before it drains back into the river. There are a whole suite of things we can all do, and I know that a number in the room, including those in the Green Sanctuary work group, are working hard on these already. So with that in mind, I wanted to challenge everyone this morning to think about that experience. Or maybe it's a group of experiences, but usually there's one in particular that you can jumps out at you, and really think how that has inspired you to want to do more for the environment. Seriously, think about it for a moment. It's a helpful exercise, and I'll give you one more example. As a Boy Scout, I remember being up in the mountains and being given the exercise of building a shelter out of sticks or whatever we could find around in the woods and the environment. And of course, as it usually happens at Boy Scout camp, it's a full-on rainstorm. You know, we're completely soaked, and we're required to spend the night out there to achieve our merit badge goals. And at the time, it was the most terrible experience that you could have. You know, just why would they put us out here in the storm? Why couldn't we do it another night? Just you know, all these questions. But we were in this group with other boys, so we were all commiserating about it together. And as it goes, the next day we're all, you know, sort of bragging about how terrible it was and what a good job we did building our shelters. You know, I think that just highlights how valuable these experiences are to me, but I think to everyone, because that's the first step. How can you really expect to make a difference? How can you expect others to care about the environment if they have not had that opportunity to connect deeply with the environment? And that is a huge focus of what our organization does in a number of groups that are active during Earth Day, or Earth Week, as we are saying this morning. Capitalizing on those experiences to get people outdoors, to get them in a boat, maybe get them a little bit out of their comfort zone, or maybe do something as simple as a trash cleanup. Earth Day is the time of year where we all come together to do these kinds of things. But my second challenge for you is to maybe stretch that into the next part of your lives. Don't make it just an annual occurrence that we go clean up our local creek. But what can you do as an individual, whether it's something large or something small, maybe taking a greater leadership position in the sanctuary, in the community here, to help you congregation do more? Or maybe it's in your neighborhood. Maybe it's peer pressuring your neighbor to stop putting down so much fertilizer on their lawn in the springtime. There are all ways that we individually can have a large impact. Because like I said, we all play a role in this. And I think it's important to point out something that's already been mentioned earlier, but we are a part of nature, and we all play a role in helping protect it. And you couldn't, that could be highlighted better than looking at the seventh principle. Respect for the interdependent web of all existence, of which we are all a part of it. We are all a part of nature. We are not, in fact, separate from nature. We all play a role in the health of the environment, and there's a lot that we can all do to make a huge difference. So I challenge you to do more. I challenge you to come and speak with me a little bit more afterwards if you want to learn more about the James and some things that we have coming up. But the possibilities really are endless. Volunteer, go to an environmental festival, and there are a lot happening this time of year. Solar panels, organize a local event to educate your neighbors about runoff, polluted runoff, or things they can do to help clean up the river. Change a small habit. Make sure your kids are not leaving that faucet on while they're brushing their teeth. You know, it starts small like that. There's a lot of little things you can do. Tell your elected representatives that clean water is important to you. And above all things, do something that's fun outdoors and allows you to connect deeply with the environment. You don't need to wait until April 22nd. You don't have to wait until perfect weather, although it's very nice today. But to really build a better future, I think that we all really need to take this moment on Earth Day to reflect on why nature is important to you, and maybe how you can pass that inspiration on to maybe a grandchild, a child, or someone that you know and can connect with. So happy Earth Day, everyone.